That's not a fairy tale. From the very depths of my heart, I wish it'd be tonight.
Amen.
I'm tired of the heartache, the trials that I have to see people go through. My heart's so heavy tonight for some of our folks that I just don't even know what to do. But Jesus coming back would fix it all, amen?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Shy.
I just want to thank God for being so good to me.
Amen, son.
How bad our lives are going and what's going on in our lives. Our lives can always go much worse. And even if it is the worst part of your life, you've never had somebody. There's other people going through the same thing.
Yep. Yeah.
They ain't got that.
Tell it, son.
They don't know what's going on in their life. They don't know what they want.
Yeah.
They don't have them for anything in their life. They don't have people in the church that care about them like that.
Amen,
buddy.
Every day. I just thank God for being so good.
Hallelujah, buddy. What a blessing. Isaiah 59. Go ahead, Brother Shane. Amen, bro.
You know, he's with me every step of the way. And the way I can make sure this, the way I have
it,
I've been
for. Amen, bro.
Great friends. And, you know, it wasn't the end last night. It was just the beginning.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, she's doing better than she ever has.
Yeah,
I'll bring her back.
Hallelujah, bro.
But don't make it hurt no less. And don't make me going to miss it. But I'm just glad that, you know, he answered that prayer and didn't let her lay there and suffer for a long time.
Amen, bro. Praise the Lord, but what a blessing.
Amen.
Amen. In the Bible, death is supposed to be a celebration. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Amen. If we live our life right, it can be celebrated when we're gone. Amen. Isaiah chapter 59, kind of going to be a hand in glove message with a message from this morning. That I've got a real burden and my heart is heavy. I'll be honest with you, if I had my way about it, I'd just preach about the love of God all the time. I'd preach about heaven all the time, but I don't get my way about it.
Yeah.
Amen. I came in tonight and Kurt came in out here, was talking to me, and he said, everywhere I go, he said, I'm seeing compromise. And I said, yeah, you're exactly right. I said, that's kind of the direction I'm preaching tonight. And I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 59. Look with me at verse number 14. I preached this message years ago. And the Lord just put the message this morning and this message on my mind this week, and I just knew there's no way of getting around preaching these two sermons. I want us to have some longevity. I want us to make it. Amen? I'm tired of watching people wash out. I'm tired of divorce. Amen. I really would love just to be able to have a paddle in my office and start whipping grown people who are acting like children. Just bend you over my desk and spank your backside real good. I give you my Joel Osteen. That better? Amen. There's no excuse for it. The only excuse there is just sin. Amen. It's just sin. Preachers don't want to talk about sin anymore. It's all warm and fuzzy. Listen, man, before you can get saved, you got to realize you're sick. You won't go to the doctor when there is no symptom. If there's no pain and your body is fine, you're not just going to say, I think I'll just go to the doctor today. Nobody's going to get saved with somebody pumping them full of lies, telling them how good they are.
Amen.
Amen. Something's missing. Look at Isaiah chapter 59. I want to try to show you a truth tonight. The Bible said in Isaiah 59 in verse number 14, in judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. He said, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. I'm preaching to you this thought for a few minutes tonight. Truth has fallen in the street. Truth has fallen in the street. There's a story about Darius, the king of Persia. He had a great feast and a celebration with 127 of his most powerful governors. And they had a competition at this celebration that the one who could come up with the most powerful word, you know, everybody was into philosophy and all those things back then. And whoever, he said, whoever could come up with the most powerful and the most profound word would receive a gold necklace and a seat at his table. Well, the competition began, and the first man stood to his feet and he shouted that wine is strongest. That's the strongest word, wine. And he gave his argument about how it influences the mind and the heart of man. The second man stood up and he said the king is strongest. That's the strongest word in our language, is the word king, because he has authority. He speaks and people obey. Must be the strongest word. The third man stood up and he said woman was the strongest word because of her influence over man. Finally, a fourth man stood up and he said truth is the strongest word. And he gave his argument and all the people cheered and he won the competition. Truth is the strongest word. Why? I'll tell you in just a few minutes. Listen, we're living in a day when truth has fallen in the street. Follow me carefully now. I'm going to try to explain this scripture just a little bit. The street here is kind of like an expressway. And travelers are coming down the road and need to get by, but they can't get through to get their job done because truth is laying in the way. Years ago, Brother Robert Upton, Brother Tim, and Levi, my son, we went to Kentucky on a hunting trip. Coming home, it came a big snowstorm. Remember, if you remember that, Brother Charles, we got stuck in Kentucky. Or Tennessee was about to cross Mount Eagle on, is that 65, Brother Dwayne?
24.
We was on Highway 24, and the snow had covered Mount Eagle, and we had to cross the medium and go get a motel. Finally, we got to talking to these truckers that had radios, and they told us what had happened was a truck jackknifed on that mountain, and it was carrying a stock trailer load of donkeys. We couldn't get home because donkeys were blocking the way. We had somewhere to go. It was Saturday. I had to preach on Sunday. I desperately needed to get through that road, but because of a bunch of jackasses, I couldn't get home. Now, let me just put this real plain, okay? We're not on the radio tonight, bless God. Let me just put this, hey, there are some travelers that need to get down the road in America, but I'm afraid a bunch of jackasses are laying in the road. Amen. Let's put it lightly. Truth has fallen in the street. Now listen, truth has fallen down and the road is blocked. Now follow me just for a few minutes. Now, equity or equality, everywhere we turn, everybody's talking about equality, equal rights and all this stuff. Without truth, there can be no equity or equality. Without truth, let me say it again, without truth, there can be no equality. There is not a balance in this race issue in America. It's as out of whack as anything I've ever seen. Are y'all listening to me? Everything's about race. If a cop pulls somebody over for running 90 miles an hour, it's a race. Racial profiling. If I'm going to check somebody for a bomb at the airport, you can hunker down and bet on the fact he's got a rag around his head. Amen. Y'all listening? If you're going to check somebody that might be a suicidal bomber, check somebody who looks like a suicidal bomber. Amen. I made a boy mad in McDonald's today. We were walking out down here at Mirror Lake. All I could see was his rear end. I said, boy, pull your pants up. I had my little niece, Nicolette, I didn't want her looking at his butt. I bet he thought I was a racist. No, I'm a anti-Buddhist. How about that? I don't see your boxer drawers. Pull your stinking pants up, man. You can't even say anything anymore without being labeled as a hate monger or this or that. It's crazy. Why? Equality can't get by because truth is falling in the street. Judgment comes down the road. and has to get a job done. But judgment can't get through because truth is falling in the street. Justice comes down the road in our verse, and justice wants to get some justice done, but justice can't get through because truth is falling in the street. You see, without truth, there is no justice. Without truth, there is no judgment. And without truth, there is no equity. And truth is falling in the street in America, and America is in a flat-footed mess tonight, and we need some old-fashioned men of God and some women of God that'll stand up and say, bless God, the Bible said. Amen. Amen. We need to preach truth. When it gets to the day where I won't preach truth, fire me and hire one who will. Amen. We're going to preach truth around here. I got to thinking about it as I drove home today, and we were live on the radio. Some people get nervous before they preach. I get nervous after I preach. I'm driving down the road, and I asked my wife, I said, did I say? She said, yep, you did. It's going to get me one of these days. I said stuff this morning that could cause a riot and cause us to be marched on. Are you listening? I did not say one thing false from this pulpit. I did not make one false statement from this pulpit. You know what the problem is? We're living in a country that would rather believe a lie than to hear the truth. Amen. Let me say it again. They would rather believe a lie than to hear the truth. I was watching this afternoon on the Farm Channel. They was giving the farm report, and they said, here's the government's report, and what they said the crop harvest will be, or the bushel amount, or this kind of thing about the corn. Is, but here's what the farmer's saying, and they ain't matching up. What the government's saying is everything's okay. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's doing better. Everything is not doing better. It's worse than it has been since the flood in Noah's day. I'm telling you, we're living in a wicked, wicked, wicked world. And somebody needs to wake up and realize it. We need to start seeking truth instead of comfort. Sometimes truth hurts. You're a sinner, and if you die without Christ, you're going to bust hell wide open. That's just truth. Some look cross-eyed at me when I got to talking about sodomy. Boy, they don't like that word. That's what the Bible calls it. Sodomites. I'm telling you, I'm fired up about this thing. Them praising that basketball player for coming out and saying I'm black and I'm gay. And he gets a congratulatory call from the president. What does that tell you about the man? Then his wife calls and says, hey, we've got your back. And a young Christian football player makes an announcement that he's in his 20s and he's pure. And they ridicule him. Man, we're looking at this thing from the wrong end, man. We're living in a day where it's a good thing if you come out. No, go in. Go in. I liked it better when they were in the closet. Amen. Go back in, lock the door. Amen. Amen. Hey, you can be gay if you want to. Gay used to be happy. To be gay meant to be happy. I was looking at the rodeo announcements. Brother Stacy, there's a rodeo coming to Gay, Georgia. I looked at that and I thought, I'd move. I'd find straight Georgia. Amen. I saw a bumper sticker the other day. I know I'm just ranting tonight, but truth is falling in the street. I saw a bumper sticker the other day. It had the bathroom door symbols of a man and a woman, and out beside it, it said straight pride. Hallelujah. Amen. Ain't no telling what kind of ridicule that fella may get for having that bumper sticker on his truck. But I say, praise God, somebody ought to open their mouth and speak the truth. When they got your kids in a public school and they're telling them about Susie who's got two mommies, you need to set your little girl down, your little boy down, and say, baby, this is wicked. It's an abomination before God, and it's sin, and it's not a lifestyle. It's wicked. Yes. We ought to teach them right. Amen. We want the truth at the doctor, but nowhere else. Amen. We want the doctor to tell us what's really wrong, but God forbid the government do it. God forbid the preacher do it. You know what you got to do to build a big church in America today? Smile a lot. And don't offend anybody. Don't ever preach on sin. Are you listening? But boy, we're dodging truth if we do that. We're leaving truth laying in the road. And then judgment can't do its job, and justice can't do its job.
Amen.
You listening? Our country no longer wants truth. It's not the Bible that offends them, it's the truth of the Bible that offends them. It's not the Ten Commandments that offend them, it's what they say. I think what better thing could hang on a courthouse wall? Thou shalt not steal.
Amen.
Thou shalt not commit adultery. Those things, that'd be a good thing to hang in a courthouse wall. But yet people are up in arms. You don't hear nobody up in arms over a Quran. You don't hear anybody up in arms about the Jehovah's Witness or the Mormons. You don't hear anybody. But boy, you stand up and say, I am a conservative Christian, and brother, you are a weirdo and you're a freak.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, that's the day where we're living. And we ought to pray, God, give us truth. I told you about a young man I met in Muskegon, Michigan here a month or so ago. I was preaching out there. There's this young fella, and I could tell he was from another country somewhere. And the pastor told me, he said, I want you to go up to that boy. We were sitting on the platform. He said, I want you to go up to that boy right there after church and ask him if he'd mind giving you his testimony. I said, okay. I didn't think nothing about it. You know, I knew he was from Middle East somewhere. And I walked up after. I said, preacher asked me to see if you'd give me your testimony. And he said, you got a minute? I said, yes, sir. We sat down in a chair as under a big tent in a tent meeting. And he said, I was a Muslim. He said, I was raised in Turkey. He said, my family's always been Islam. He said, but I came to America. He said, something inside me. Here's what he said. I'm not just using this for this message tonight. This is what he really said. He said, something in my heart told me there's truth somewhere.
Amen.
And something in my heart told me what I have is not truth.
Amen.
He said, and I started looking. He said, when I moved to America from Turkey, he said, I just started, I got the telephone book, and I started going down through the church listings in the telephone book. He said, here's what I prayed. God, whoever you are, let me know when I hear truth.
Amen.
Let me know when I hear truth. He said, I visited several churches. He said, and nothing sounded right. He said, and when I heard the thing that was so opposite from what I've been taught, he said, something in my heart said, that's truth. I got to asking him some questions about those peace-loving Muslims. He said, preacher, don't let anybody lie to you. There is no such thing. He said, we are taught from our childhood to hate your guts. And that it's a glorifying thing to see you die. He said, those who claim to be peace-loving, they're waiting. He said, if they say they're peace-loving, they don't believe their book.
Yeah.
Amen.
He said, you're an infidel and you deserve to die like a cow in the street.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, it got quiet on me.
Yeah.
Some of you must have some peace-loving Muslim friends. Well, you remember that, and they come into work with a bomb strapped to their chest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. They're taught to hate us. How can you have a religion that serves a God who tells you to hate people? It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my life. You've got to be on drugs to believe that stuff. But they're the fastest growing religion in the world. We okay? Truth is falling in the street. Let me say it again. Truth is falling in the street. Now we're living in a day, man, where our kids can't even start their day in school with prayer. Because it might offend somebody. I love what they did in Harrelson County last year. I've told it all over the country. Harrelson County Rebel football team. Told them they couldn't pray and before the game anymore. So the next Friday night, man, they had T-shirts printed up. Said, "Rebels still pray before they play." And the guy, the announcer, said, "Let us stand for a moment of silence." About 4,000 people showed up for that ball game. Every news channel in this part of the country was there. When he said, "Stand for a moment of silence," they stood to their feet like a mighty army and shouted, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And the two idiot parents who did not even have a child in that school, it showed them sitting there hunkered down like that. And I thought, get them.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It wouldn't hurt my feelings if they'd have stomped them.
Yeah.
He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, listen, we are not a violent religion. We're not violent. But there ought to be some violence against sin and against lies of the devil, man. And greatest preachers in America, so-called, won't even tell people the truth. Joel Osteen's wife has more backbone than he does. I guarantee you she'd out preach it. If I had a choice to listen to one of the two, I'm with her.
Yeah.
When old Oprah and that movie star, what's his name? Black guy's made all them movies. They all got a good moral story to them. Tyler Perry. They interviewed old Osteen and his wife and started asking about gay marriage and all that stuff. But his wife chimed right in. And she said, she put her hand on old Joel's knee and you could see her squeeze it. He's like, "Shut up, you wimp. I got this." I said, "Go on, sis." She said, "Well, the Bible says it's a sin." He just sat there. Oh, Oprah said, "Brother Joel, are there homosexuals in your church?" He said, "Of course." He said, "Would you marry a homosexual couple?" Here's his answer. "I don't do weddings." Let me tell you something. A lot of that stuff sounds good. I'd love to believe it. That's just not truth. That's why they're flocking to it, because it's easy to believe. It's easy to believe. I'm so special and I'm so good. And are you listening? There's only one problem. What they say is truth, but it's not the whole truth. So if you don't have the whole truth, in essence, you don't have truth.
That's right.
Are we okay? There's got to be a balance. Listen, I'm going to preach on the love of God because God is love. And I'm going to preach on heaven. And I'm going to preach about glory. And I'm going to preach about worship and praising our Savior. But at the same time, I've got to preach against sin. And I've got to preach against wickedness. And I've got to preach on hell and warn people who are dying without Christ every single day. If Mr. Osteen saved, I don't even want to be around at the judgment seat of Christ when he's there. If he's saved, can you think of the millions whose blood will be on his hand because he won't preach on sin? Larry King said, "Well, what about the Muslims who flew the planes into the Twin Towers on 9/11? Are they in heaven? They died for their religion." Well, Larry, I just don't know. I thought, man, your daddy might rise up out of the grave and whip your rear end.
Amen. Amen.
His daddy had preached, friend. Amen. Truth is falling in the street. And we're sitting idly by and doing nothing about it. They're using the television to indoctrinate our children.
Amen.
You know what they're doing? They're teaching us that homosexuals are funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're funny. It's not funny. You ever watched anybody die with AIDS? Are you listening to me? Have you ever watched anybody die with AIDS? Ain't nothing funny about it.
Right. Amen.
Ain't nothing pretty about it.
Amen.
Amen. We ought to start watching carefully what Hollywood's pushing down our children's throats.
Amen.
Amen? Let me make a couple of statements about truth, and we'll go home. How many of you like to hear the truth? I mean, sometimes it's hard to swallow. But you know what's real? Amen. Man, if I got a headache, I don't want to take a sugar pill. I want something with some medicine in it. Amen. Three things. Number one, truth never dies. Truth never dies. The truth is the truth, and it always will be the truth. It never dies. 2 + 2 = 4. I don't care how you look at it. I don't care what your philosophy is. Hey, all these people with these weird, stupid ways of thinking. Well, I just don't see it that way. It doesn't really look black to me. It looks more this or that. No, if it's black, it's black.
Amen.
If it's white, it's white. If it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong.
Amen.
What our problem is, our minds is so twisted and messed up, is because we've walked away from the standard of this good old book right here that tells us how to live and tells us what truth is. Jesus said, my word is truth.
Amen.
Truth never dies. Let me say it again. Truth never dies. When the teachers tell our children that the world is billions and billions and billions of years old, it's a lie. It's 6,000 years old. The truth never changes. We came from a lesser being. Truth never changes. Listen here. Jesus is still virgin born. Are you listening? He's still virgin born. He still died vicariously. He still rose from the grave. He's still sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and me. The blood of Jesus Christ still covers all sin. Are you listening, man? We got to tell the world the truth. People who die without God will bust hell wide open. I'd love to be a faith healer and have the power to heal. I'd fix your eyes. I'd give you 20/20 vision. But I'd rather be able to preach you the truth of the Word of God and you take the gospel and trust Christ as your Savior and go to heaven blind as a bat than I had you go to hell seeing 20/20. Everybody's more interested in the physical. No, what Jesus does is first inward. He never touches the outward before he touches the inward. You see, he's not real interested as you think he is in that outward. It's that inward he's getting one day. That outward's going back where it come from. Your worm food. Amen. Ain't nothing about your flesh going to heaven when you die. Amen. Everybody wants to put all this physical. What about the spiritual, man? I believe in feeding hungry people. I believe my wife wants to take a medical missions trip after she graduates from nursing school. She wants to go and give glasses to children and give immunizations and all that kind of stuff. And I met up with a preacher, and that's what they do. But they go into the villages, and they lure them in with the medicine. Then they give them a prescription from the good doctor when they get there. Amen. Hey, it's okay to clothe them. It's okay to feed them. It's okay to doctor them. Hey, but let's give them the gospel. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a missionary that won't preach. I get a dozen calls on my phone back there in my office a week from people wanting to come by on deputation. I rarely return the call. Half of them sound effeminate. Yes, Brother Wyatt, I'm so-and-so. I'm graduated from here. I don't care. Don't give a flip where you went to school. I ain't worried about what you got in your head. I want to know what you've got in your heart. Let me say it again. I want to know what you've got in your heart. My favorite missionaries are ex-military, Brother Ryan, who get a burden for a country and a place where they serve like you did in Okinawa, Japan. And they get saved, boy, and they come home, and them people lost and going to hell over there where they were, burns on their heart and burns on their heart until they got a burden so heavy that they can't do nothing else but go tell them. I like it like that, boy. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a missionary that won't rear back and preach. Amen. If they won't preach here and they won't witness here, 9 times out of 10, they ain't going to do it there. Truth never dies. Just because you try to twist it and because you try to change it, it's still truth. You can cover it up. Hey, look, man, I was in FFA all 4 years of high school. I raised 2 grand champion pigs. I showed hogs. Now, you country when you show hogs. Rich people show dogs. I showed Yorkshire. Yorkshire hogs. You know what we'd do? The day before the big show, we'd get them hogs, we'd get them clippers. We'd trim all that hair off their ears and their tail. We'd scrub them down, put baby powder on them. You know what it was? It's just a clean pig. It's still a pig, man. You turn him loose, guess where he's going? Huh? It ain't mud. It's what come out the business end of that hog. And they'll go roll in it. Why? They a pig. You can dress them up, put bows in their hair, but it's still a pig. You can call it alternate lifestyle, but it's still a pig. You can call it a sickness or an addiction, it's still a pig. It's sin, sin is sin, and it's never changed, and it never will change. Man told me one day, he said, him and his wife had a, I don't know if I can say the word, amicable, did I say that right? Amicable divorce. I said, what is that? He said it meant it was all good. I thought you fooled. Wonder how amicable it was with your children. Wonder when your babies laid in the bed and cried. Wonder where daddy went. Oh, everything's cool. Everything's cool because mom and dad don't hate one another's guts. They just can't live together. It's sin. Yeah. Truth never dies. Get that through your head. That's why Dr. Bottle Stopper or Dr. Jack Frost, they don't faze me. Oh, I've had them do it over the years. Try to educate me about the Word of God. And try to fill me with some of this Greek and Hebrew that they couldn't read if you put it in their hand.
That's right.
Try to correct the Word of God and show me the mistakes in my Bible. Don't waste your time.
Amen.
I won't even listen to you.
Amen.
Hey, somebody run out there and look at that sign, see if it still says Happy Valley. I said, I won't even listen to you. We believe this old King James Bible. We believe God can preserve my soul. He can preserve His Word. Amen. I'm glad there ain't 6,000 words missing out of mine. I'm glad mine ain't vulgar and cuss like a sailor. That NIV's got words in it you wouldn't allow your children to read out loud. I did that one time years ago. I passed some different Bibles around. I'd call on people, say, stand up and read that verse. And they'd get there, they'd go, I'd say, come on. They wouldn't do it. I'm glad I have it. I don't always live it. When I measure myself up against this, I come up, I'm about like that. Way, way short. But I'm glad I know the truth. I don't have to wonder like the little Muslim boy. I want to know truth. I want to find truth. I'll know it when I hear it. I'm glad I've been hearing it all my life. And I'm glad I got it planted deep down in my heart. And I'm glad I'm not trying to change it. And I ain't going to let nobody change me. And don't let nobody change you. There are people who used to sit in the same pew you're sitting in, listen to the same preaching you're listening to. Now they're in a church where there's no Bible, no Holy Ghost. You're going to tell me you're changing lives when the Holy Spirit ain't there. You ain't going to reach no sinner in the flesh. You're not going to do it. You're not going to reach flesh with flesh. Salvation's a spiritual thing, friend. I'm telling you, we need the presence of the power of God. I believe He showed up this morning sideways. Amen. He showed up enough to make an old sinner raise their hand and say, I don't know God. He showed up enough to make some husbands and wives go on this altar together and make vows that they're going to stick it out for the long haul.
Amen.
Truth never dies. Secondly, truth needs some help. Truth needs some help. Let me say it again. Truth needs some help. It's fallen, and it can't get up on its own. You know why? Truth doesn't have a mouth. But we do. I can lay this Bible, Brother Freddie, right there. And we can come in here Sunday after Sunday, and we can sing songs, and we can just sit here and look at that Bible. It's truth. We've got it. But if it's never proclaimed, that Bible ain't going to keep nobody out of hell.
Amen.
Amen. Sinners ain't going to walk down that aisle and say, let me borrow that book. I need to find God. I need to see if I can figure out how to be saved. I need to see if I can figure out how I know I'll go to heaven when I die. Are you listening? I was walking through an airport one day. It'd been several years ago. It was in Atlanta. And there's one of them airport bars that they're just, there's like a little fence, a little wrought iron fence, and you're walking right here and they're sitting right there. There's a guy with one of them backward shirts on sitting there, had him a martini or some kind of drink. And I seen that caller, I said, sir, you a father? He said, well, yes I am. I said, I have a question. He said, sure. I said, can you tell me how I can know I'll go to heaven when I die? I'll be that, buddy, you a father? Truth needs help. You know what Jesus saved us for? For His honor and His glory,
yeah,
and to help truth.
Amen.
Every time you hand out a gospel tract, you're helping truth.
Amen.
Every time you witness to a neighbor, you're helping truth. When you invite a friend, Sister Stacy said she's the doctor she works for. He kind of likes her. She fixes his coffee every morning, rubs his feet, and gives him massages. But she's good to him. And he's a Hindu, is that right? He's a Hindu. He's got all these little gods. Stacy, he laughs at her. She won't go in his office. She's scared of them little gods he has sitting in his window. She's told him that she sings in church. He said, I want to hear you sing. They try to get her to sing at work. She won't do it. Said, you got to come to church. She's going to do her best to get him here on Friend Day next Sunday. You know what that's doing? That's helping truth. That's helping truth. Truth is falling in the street, and she needs our help. She needs our help. Listen, we're not called to be mean. I don't have a mean bone in my body. Jesus took all them out when He saved me. I'm not confrontational. I don't want to fight with anyone. But I don't want to get to heaven and find out that I withheld truth and that people died and went to hell. Preaching on hell is not mean. That is love preaching.
Amen.
A preacher that won't tell you the truth does not love you.
Right.
He loves your wallet, and he may love your wife.
That's right.
You listening? He don't love you.
Amen.
Preaching is his profession, not his life.
That's right.
Preaching is a vocation to him. It's a business. I've had preachers tell me out of their own mouth that they weren't going back to a certain meeting because their love offering wasn't big enough.
Wow.
I thought, really? There's places I go it costs me.
Amen. Thank God.
Amen. I started flying for free, man. I got preachers out of the woodwork wanting me to come because they know I fly for free and it won't cost them. They're little churches. They ain't got no money. I told Brother Tony, I'm not bragging on me, but I'm just telling you, I could care less about the money. God take care of all that.
Amen.
I just want to go preach and be a help and be a blessing.
Amen.
Brother Tim Shirley said, I want you to come and be in my youth meeting 3 years ago. He said, but I can't afford you. I can't afford to put you in a room. I said, man, you can't afford not to have me, man. What I meant by that was, it ain't going to cost you a dime. If your mama will let me stay with them over there in their little single-wide trailer, if I can stay in that back room with Brother Tony and Brother Matt, hey, it won't cost you nothing.
Amen. Amen.
told me the next, after that meeting, he said, "Boy, I wish I could have you back next year." I said, "I'm coming. Whether you're having me or not, I'll be here." And I think he's figured out I mean it. I don't worry about that. Seeing them little boys and girls come to that altar, how many we have saved in that meeting? Had 12 one night. Man, I'd pay that. I'd give them the love offering. I got to preach and see 14 kids get born again. Woo! That's a payday, friend. That's treasures laid up in heaven. I said, truth never dies, and truth needs help. And it's our job to help truth. If your kid comes home and tells you they're coming out, you don't agree with their sin, but you love your child. Well, it got quiet on me again. Man, we're living in a day. Listen, if I preach truth, it's going to touch somebody in here. And what you ought to do is be in agreement with me instead of getting mad at me. I had a couple look a little uncomfortable this morning. Well, listen, man, would you rather your child not be? Well, you better pray for somebody that'll preach against it. Amen. Had a lady in our church back in the old building. She still comes now and again. When she was a teenager, she got pregnant and had an abortion. Well, one Sunday morning, I knew that. Well, one Sunday morning, I was just letting her rip about killing babies. I noticed she was weeping all through the service. Somebody came to me after the service and jumped on me. They said, "How dare you do that with her sitting there? You know she had an abortion when she was a teenager." I went to her. I said, "Did I hurt you today?" She bust out crying. She said, "No, Brother Eddie." She said, "If anybody in that room knows that that truth needs preaching, it was me." She said, "I was praying for you the whole time, saying, God use him. God bless him. Don't make another girl. Don't let another girl do what I did." She said, "I'm weeping because I'm sorry for what I've done. It was a mistake. And it haunts me day in and day out." You ought to thank God when you got a preacher that'll tell the truth. What is truth? This book right here. If it's in that Bible, it's true. Yeah, but times change. Well, the Lord said, "I am the Lord, and I change not." God hadn't changed one iota. Hey, we may change some methods, but we're not going to change the message. We may get some modern conveniences like whatever you call that, a projector camera thing. We may get some new carpet on the floor and some new paint on the walls and some new padding on the pew, but we're not going to change the message of the Word of God. I catch one of you Sunday school teachers with posters on your wall with wrong scripture, it's coming down. Why? We're not going to mess with truth. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe I'm not qualified to mess with this. Amen. Do you know what a reverence there was in my house growing up for this book right here? I'll never forget my little great-grandmother, Hetty Fuller. I've told you all the time, she is the original SpongeBob SquarePants. She was a square, just a little short thing, wide as she was tall. Wore an apron all the time, always in the kitchen. Her little Bible, she had a red Bible. And that Bible was laying on the hutch, was where it was at, in the dining room. I walked in, I had some kind of magazine, I forgot what it was. I didn't think nothing about it. Granny was in the kitchen, I walked through the kitchen, walked by and laid that magazine. "Hey, you march yourself right back in here." "Yes, ma'am." And my granny, I was spoiled, stinking rotten, y'all probably figured that out. And she rarely raised her voice. She said, "You pick that up right now." And I picked that up. She said, "Baby, don't you ever put nothing on top of the Word of God." That's what she said. She said, that is God's holy word, and you've just put something over it. She said, if you want to get it right, put it under it, because that's where everything goes, is under the book, not on top of the book. Hey, I'm telling you, let's uphold it and say, this is truth. This is truth. We're going to preach it. We're going to proclaim it, and we're going to believe it. I said it this morning. A lot of these guys who are going away from the word of God and going with this super mega church, anything goes, you know what I'm talking about? And they used to preach this. They used to preach what I preach. They never really believed it in their heart.
Amen. That's right.
Because you get a hold of truth, man, you'll be like a dog sucking eggs. Amen. They'll have to shoot you, man.
Amen.
Yeah. No way you could change my mind.
Yeah.
I'm like old Peg McCamey, Miss Stacy. I got my foot on the rock and my mind's made up.
Yeah.
Truth never dies. Truth needs our help. Truth needs our help. Lastly, and I'm done. Without truth, there just simply is no longer a way. Without truth, there is no way. Jesus said, I am the what? Somebody help me. There's another error. Somebody, y'all, people get mad at me all the time. You ought to pull up the transcript online. You can read it word for word. Joel Osteen's interview with Larry King a few years ago. You can read it word for word, verbatim. I've never told a lie about the man. Larry King said, well, didn't Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me? Is that right? Well, Larry, I just don't know. Jesus said, I'm not only the way, I'm the truth. I am the truth. I am the true and living way. When you talk about Jesus, you're talking about truth. When you're talking about Muhammad, you're talking about a lie. When you're talking about Buddha, you're talking about a lie. When you're talking about Confucius, you're talking about a lie. Oh, but good God Almighty, when you mention his name, brother and sister, you're speaking truth straight up and down. He is truth. And without him, there is no way. There is no way to fix our country without him. There is no way to fix our homes without him. There is no way to raise our children without him. Hey, without Jesus, Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. People get some high-ranking position in a high paying job, and they live in a high rent neighborhood, and they think they're successful, and they are successful at wrecking and destroying their life. Hey, I don't care how much money you got, what kind of car you drive, if you ain't got Jesus, friend, you're a loser every single time.
Amen.
Without him, there is no way. We're going to preach Jesus if it offends the whole world. Told you about that man a couple of years ago jumping on me. I was afraid. And I haven't been afraid in a long time. I usually have a pistol, but it was in my truck. I was standing in the door of Home Depot in Douglasville. Brother Kent Blake, you remember him who died?
Yes.
His son-in-law worked at Home Depot. He'd been out of church for a long time. I'm standing there talking to him, minding my own business. And I, about this time, a young black man, about three times my size, was walking past me. And as he was walking past me going into Home Depot, I said Jesus to this young man I was talking to. Somehow in the sentence, in the conversation, that guy turned on me. I promise you, I could see demons in his eyes. He turned around and he didn't say, can I speak to you a minute? He turned it around, looked at me, and he said, he's only a man. That loud. And here he come in my face, nose to nose. What is it about that name?
Yeah.
All I said was Jesus.
Yeah.
And you're about to spaz out.
Yeah.
That's what I told him. I said, sir, you're wigging out, man. I said, I wasn't even talking to you.
He's just a man. You can't prove he's nothing but a man.
And he was so riled up, I didn't want to push it. He's finna hit me. And like I said, he's about three times my size. I finally just had to turn away from him. He wouldn't let me walk away. I mean, it went on and on and on. My wife's standing there with tears in her eyes. It was bad. I done made up my mind. If it ever gets like that again, I'm just going to shoot him.
Amen.
So I was in fear for my life.
Amen.
See, I'm fixing to put a hole in you, and you tell me whether he's just a man. You're going to find out here in about 3 seconds, friend. Get out of my face. Some of you wants to get cornered up with one of them and argue, you're crazy. These people who want to hear the gospel.
Amen.
Amen. Truth never dies. Truth needs our help. And without the truth, there is no way. Listen, I hated that the weather cooled off and we couldn't do the water guns with the kids. You know, over the years, people have ridiculed us for stuff we do with these bus kids. We're luring them to church with hot dogs and hamburgers. If you lure them in with a hamburger, you're going to have to lure them back with a hot dog. The food ain't a lure, it's food, you idiot. They don't get much of it at home. Well, you got to play all these games with them. We love them. Them kids have a blast, man. We going to pour buckets of water on one another. Them kids love to wet me more than anything in the world.
Amen.
And I eat it up just knowing they love me.
Yeah.
It'll be a cold day in hell before we feed hamburgers and hot dogs and have water gun battles and round up Sunday and ride them on horses that we don't tell them about Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And what he did at Calvary. That baby girl sitting right there, it's because of what she heard in children's church caused her to fall on her knees on her front porch this afternoon and ask Jesus to save her soul. Thank God we got a place where the truth is proclaimed. Lady called my pastor one Sunday years ago. I was preaching in junior church at White Oak, and lady called Brother Earl, and she was highly upset. She said, I've got a problem with the man who preached in your children's church this morning. Brother Earl said, oh, it was Eddie. He's like, oh, no, what's he done now? Brother Earl said, ma'am, what's the problem? She said, he scared my child. My child is still scared and upset. Brother Earl said, what'd he do that scared him? He was talking about hell and said people who die without Christ go to hell.
Amen, brother.
Brother Earl said, good.
He hadn't
my back.
Amen.
He said, ma'am, hell ought to scare you.
Right.
And it ought to scare your son. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, we're going to have fun with these kids, but they're going to know about Jesus.
Right.
Amen. I ain't tooting no horn, but ain't going to be quite a few of them in glory.
Because
we don't hide him around here. He's not up under a bushel. No. He's number one. By the way, if you're ever curious about what goes on out there with your kids, you'll go listen sometime. I'm here to tell you, we have some of the most awesome people. They didn't go to nobody's school that told them how to do it. Not one of them. Not one of them. Brother Jerry's retired Army. Miss Irene's just a mean German. I mean, they didn't go to no Bible school. Brother Thomas, you got a degree?
No, sir.
I didn't think so.
He
ain't even got a GED. You know what they do got? Brother Greg, you got one? You got a what?
I got a Paulding County
High School. Paulding County
High School.
That's worse than GED. What qualifies them to work with our kids? They love them. And they love Jesus.
Yeah.
Brother Jason, you got one? You do got a degree?
No. I got GED.
You got GED. He can't even figure out what he's got. I got a piece of paper. It's got my name on it. Said, congratulations, you won. I'm kidding, brother. Man, they love our kids. They love our kids. And the main thing around here is always going to be the main thing.
Yeah.
It's Him.
Amen.
We're going to sing about Him. We're going to preach about Him. Hey, sometimes the preaching has to get a little rough. So be it.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I need to be preached to.
Yes, amen.
I told Brother Jack Wednesday night, he said, I come to hear you preach. I said, I hate it, bud. That's what I said, I hate it. You hear, you preach it. I needed that. How about you?
Amen.
Something's wrong when you always think the preaching's for somebody else. Oh, I wish so-and-so would have been here. God knows who's here. And I know what you mean when you say that. There's times I have a whole message prepared and I have somebody on my heart and they don't show up.
Amen.
But chances are, if it's good for the goose,
yeah.
Gander needs it too.
Yeah. That's
right. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. How many of you thankful we got the truth?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brother Todd, if you would come to the piano and sing a verse if you want to. God dealing with your heart. I don't even know how to give the altar call tonight. Won't you just pray that God give us the boldness and the courage to uphold His truth and to not waver from it. You mind the Lord tonight. God dealing with your heart, you come.